Good morning. Good to be together. Let me invite you to turn to your neighbor this morning and say, "May peace be with you today. May peace be with you today." We are going to today continue exploring the path of peace, right? The way of Sabbath. What is the path that travels the way of Sabbath? And we can think back over these last 2 weeks in particular, right? In a world of space, think back 2 weeks ago, in a world of space, right? Stuff to manage, things to get done. God offers us, God gives us a Sabbath of time, right? To stop, to cease, to rest. In a world of noise, think last week, in a world of noise, right? The worries, the fears, the anxieties, God gives us, God offers us a Sabbath of silence. To listen, to notice, to be present, which I think is pretty awesome, pretty amazing. I mean, think about it. I mean, to stop, to cease, to rest, right? I mean, give me some of that, right? Are you with me? To listen, to notice, to be present. I mean, now we're cooking with butter, right? I mean, give me some of that, right? I want that in my life. And yet, as often happens, the stuff of life doesn't give up easily, right? It wants to grab hold. It wants to drag me back. It seems that just as soon as I'm ready, I'm beginning to stop and cease and rest. As soon as the quiet begins to settle in, just as I'm finally, peace is within reach. The pressure returns, the noise comes back, the worry knocks, the fear speaks, and peace begins to slip away. This is exactly where we find the King Hezekiah. The story is told, his story is told in 2 Kings, primarily 2 Kings, the historical context, 2 Kings chapters 18 through 20. 18 and verse 2, it says, we read, he, meaning Hezekiah, was 25 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. Verse 3, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made for. Up to that time, the Israelites had been burning incense to it. So Hezekiah, here he is. He's out and about Jerusalem. And it says what? It says he is removing, he is smashing, he is cutting down. Undoing, we could say, all the distraction. Relieving the pressure. Quieting all the noise. Doing, it says, what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He held fast, verse 6, meaning to cling or to stick to, and so he held fast, he's sticking to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord, it says, was with him. In a word, peace shows up. Peace comes near. Peace is present. And they all lived peacefully ever after. Or not, maybe not. Most definitely not, because if we fast forward in this story, right, just a few years later, the northern kingdom of Israel is completely decimated. The people are exiled to Assyria. Fast forward another few years, now the Assyrians are attacking the southern kingdom of Judah. 19 and 3, this is what Hezekiah says. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there is no strength to deliver them. Right, and we can again think back last week to Elijah. Think of Hezekiah and the southern kingdom of Judah. They are worn out, exhausted, falling apart, running on empty, right? The city of Jerusalem is completely surrounded. It's under siege. The people are outnumbered, overwhelmed. In other words, we could say the pressure returns, the noise comes back, the worry knocks, the fear speaks, and peace is slipping away. And yet it is in that very place, that we read these words from Hezekiah. What is Psalm 46? It begins, Elohim lanu mahase, translates, God is our refuge. Elohim, God, lanu means for us or to us, belonging to us. This is a word, this is not an abstract word. This is a word of relationship. It's a relational word. Mahase means or refers to a place or a refuge or a shelter. Not as in something we believe in, but it is something we enter into. Mahase, it is the place we run to because we trust it will hold us. Elohim lanu mahase. God is our refuge. He is the one we run to, trusting that he will hold us in the midst of the stuff of life. Whatever pressure you are facing, whatever noise is banging around, whatever worry is knocking, fear is shouting at you, Hezekiah says, God is our refuge. Right? He is the place we run to, trusting that he will hold us. God is our refuge and strength, also translated as protection. And then we read the parallel line, an ever-present help in trouble. Right? God with us in the midst of the pressure, in the noise, as the peace is slipping away. Therefore, he says, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Keep in mind that the sea, in the ancient world, the sea was symbolic for chaos, for darkness and disorder. And yet he's saying here, even there, maybe especially there, God is our refuge. Right? He is the place we run to, trusting that he will hold us. And here's what that looks like then. Not a sea, it goes on, but there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So yes, even when peace seems as distant as the sea, even there, Elohim lanu mahase, right? God is our refuge. He is the one we run to. And then verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth, which in and of itself sounds kind of harsh. Like God is bringing this misery and despair. He's bringing these desolations on the earth, right? Come and see, in effect, come and see the destruction that God is creating, that God is doing, which in one sense is true. But notice what he is destroying here. It says he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He makes wars cease, right? He's not pause, not relocate, but he brings them to an end. for all people everywhere. He breaks the bow, he shatters the spear, he burns the shields, right? The pressure relieved, the noise quieted, silenced. In other words, come and see, right? There's nothing to do. There's nothing to figure out. There's nothing to solve. But to simply, and then we come to verse 10, but to simply be still and know that I am God. We want peace. He says, be still and know that I am God. When the pressure returns, when the noise comes back, when the worry knocks, when the fear speaks, right, when peace feels like it's just out of reach, Hezekiah reminds us, God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still comes from the Hebrew rapha. It means to loosen, to let go, to release. Be still is not so much a resistance to motion as it is a posture of our hearts, a posture of trust. The path of peace, the way of Sabbath, says, be still. Loosen, let go, release, and trust. And then we read, and know that I am God. The word know in Hebrew is yada. This is a word of intimacy and connection. This is not head knowledge. This is not information. This is a knowing that flows out from being with. And like Rapha, it also carries a posture of trust. Right? The path of peace, it goes the way of Rapha and Yada, a Sabbath of trust. Be still and know that I am God. And so once again, as I have these last 2 weeks, I'm going to stop here and I'm going to practice what I preach. And I'm going to invite us to sit for a few moments. I think this is one of those practices that I think we're probably familiar with. But I think in kind of the world and daily life, we don't do enough of, just to stop, to cease, to rest, to listen, to notice, to be present right here, right now, to Rapha and Yada. And so I'm going to invite us for these next few moments to do just that. Not to run out of here right away, but just to sit for a few moments in stillness together. In the quiet, Roger, when you feel led, we'll close in a song. But again, there's really not anything to do, nothing to figure out, nothing to solve. Just a few minutes of sitting here in the stillness and the quiet together. A couple of questions I'll offer you, they'll be on the screen. Not so much questions to answer, but maybe you think these more like invitations. Where might God be inviting me to rest in Him as my refuge? Where in my daily life, where in what's going on in my world, where might God be inviting me to rest in Him, right, as my refuge? And then another question, another invitation. What am I holding that God is inviting me to Rapha and Yada? What am I holding on to that God is inviting me to Rapha and Yada? God is our refuge. Be still and know.